You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Time to get right down to the business. Daryl Ryder, Owen Hoosie, brought to you
He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Here comes Daryl. Here comes Daryl. Daryl, what's more important, Myles Garrett setting the sack record on Sunday or the Browns winning? What do you want more? What do you want more? Not what's more important. What do you want more?
Be nice to see the Browns win.
Yeah, I disagreed.
But I'm going to settle for Myles Garrett setting the sack record.
See, I agree with you, and this is why, because I think one's more realistic than the other. I think Myles Garrett setting the sack record is more realistic than the Browns winning on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win on Sunday. I don't think this thing's going to be close.
Okay, Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show.
Have you watched the Bills this season and what they've done offensively?
Yeah.
Have you watched what the Browns have done defensively and offensively in recent weeks? Not much.
Lima, put that Tommy Rees theory by Daryl here, because Daryl might agree. We'll see where Daryl stands on it.
I'm just so curious where any of this came from, that he's a coaching candidate for any type of big job.
Derry's listening. You know, he's up there in Detroit. I don't mean to put this out now. He's like, nobody on earth has mentioned. And he knows people up there with that program. He's like, nobody is.
How would you sell it to fans? What would you be saying about him that fans would be like, yes, oh my God, look at the job he's done here?
I don't know.
So am I missing something, Daryl? Where did all this buzz for Tommy Rees come from?
Well, it is league source season.
So agent. It's just the agent. Just put it out there.
You said it, not me, for the record.
Well, Lyman doesn't care about saying it. He doesn't.
I do.
We're on the station with all the balls, including Lyman. He knows it. So we're done with that. Shador, what's he got to do to be the starter in these final three games? What's he got to do to be the starter in 2026? Because I'm going somewhere with this. Take me on an odyssey, though. Go ahead.
He's got to play more so like he did against the Titans than he did against the Bears.
Okay.
And if he's able to do that, then I think he gives the front office, whoever that front office ends up being, whether that's Andrew Berry or they make changes and it ultimately ends up being someone else, then you give the organization something to think about.
Now, I'm going to put you in an unfair spot because I said I'm not even going to say this. So let me ask, are you leaning more towards one or the other? Are you leaning more towards one of these quarterbacks starting your season for 2026, building the roster, or are you leaning more towards taking a Fernando Mendoza or a Dante Moore?
I'm leaning towards using the first-round picks on an offensive lineman and a wide receiver and giving Shedeur Sanders 17 games next year to show whether or not he can do it at this level. And then if he can't, guess what? You're going to be in the same position that you are right now. So
I respect that opinion, so let me continue this. Are you willing to keep Andrew Berry employed to do so?
I don't trust Andrew to pick the next quarterback.
Now, there you go.
So for next season, sure. The problem is, though, the two primary areas of need seem to be his blind spot, and that's offensive line and that's wide receiver. He's not done well drafting either of those positions.
And I'll tell you why I asked that coming up at 8:45. Go ahead, Lima.
All right, Daryl, yesterday caught a little bit of flack because I said this draft class that Andrew Berry put together, I did not think it was good enough to be a job-saving draft class. I think it's a good one. Right. There's plenty of potential there. I think Judkins is going to be way better in the future years than he was this year because I think there's clearly talent there. But I don't think it's like some all-time special Ozzie Newsome foundation for many Super Bowls type of draft class like others do. Am I offbeat on this?
Well, it depends, I think, on what Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel does, because if one of those players can be a stabilizing force, a quarterback for the organization, then yeah, it does turn into one of those draft classes. But that's a pretty big if. I will say this. I think Mason Graham has had a solid rookie season. Carson Schwechinger arguably should be the defensive rookie of the year, hands down. Harold Fannin Jr. Is leading the team in catches right now. He's basically become the safety blanket for Shedeur Sanders. He got 14 targets last week. And is a player that one of few players that I think Shedeur actually trusts throwing the football to. But yeah, I think this is a very good rookie class. Obviously, the bar is very, very low as far as Andrew Berry draft classes go. But the fact is, he got picks this year early in the draft, and he seems to have done a really good job selecting quality players with those picks. Doesn't look like he's got many misses early.
Earlier in the show, Daryl, I had a point. Lima, did you disagree with me on my Miles theory, or did you agree? I think you agreed with me.
I agreed with you. Yeah. I tried to poke holes in it, though.
Well, you should. I mean, that's the whole point of the show, right? My theory is that I think Browns fans greatly respect Miles Garrett. I don't find that he's beloved by Browns fans the way that Nick Chubb is, as Cleveland fans are concerned, like Nick Chubb, Jose Ramirez, Joe Thomas, LeBron, those guys.
I actually agree with that. I do think Browns fans like and respect Miles. Obviously, the trade request and some of the things he said during Super Bowl week have not been forgotten. I think that there is a perception out there, and I certainly understand why, that the only reason Miles Garrett is still here is because of the money. For $40 million, the Browns basically bought his loyalty. Whereas, you know, Jose Ramirez, they didn't buy his loyalty. He he took a massive hometown discount to stay here. Donovan Mitchell committed to the Cavaliers. So, I would understand why you would not group Miles into that group based on fan affection or fan feeling.
All right, Daryl, the one thing that is always interesting to me is the type of caveats we have on these players. Like, we had a caller earlier today say he spent all this money, him and his buddies, to go out to Vegas. And Miles Garrett, who dominated that game, let's be real, he was the reason they won that game. You know, there were other guys that helped, but it was Miles Garrett's win. And you would have thought a fan would be eternally grateful that he got to see a Browns win. There aren't many of those to come by these days.
Only 144 of them since 1999. It's been a rare occurrence,
but
and they're rarely bunched together.
Right. And on the road to go spend all that money and see that, and the caller could not get the bad taste out of his mouth of Miles running off the field and not signaling to the fans the way that, like, Shador Sanders did. Is that a fair criticism that he's not connected?
I still think that guy was full of it. Well, I think he was joking.
But what I've seen from people, especially on social media, is they said Miles just never connects to the fans the way some of the other players do. Do you buy that?
I'll be honest with you. I've not paid attention to how players run off the field. I'm not Anthony. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, but I haven't. I'm aware of, like, the jersey swaps that happen, because obviously those end up on social media in some way, shape, or form. But I've never really paid attention to players, you know, how they run off the field or how they greet the fans as they're running off the field or anything like that. So it's hard for me to actually speak on that, because I've never paid any attention to it. And I don't think it's fair for me to sit here and criticize Miles for doing something or not doing something that I just am completely unaware of.
All right, let me ask you this. If the Browns were to make a move at head coach, would you welcome in Bill Belichick?
No.
Why?
I think that at that point, it becomes a gimmick. There's now baggage that comes with him. And I honestly feel like his best days are long behind him. He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, should be a first ballot Hall of Famer there. But no, I have zero interest in Bill Belichick being the head coach here again. If you want to hire him as, like, a consultant or something like that, one of those type of roles where he's not making decisions, he's just saying, hey, this is how I did things and how things were successful, this is how we won the six Super Bowls in New England, Tom Brady, you know, fine. But I have no interest in him having a meaningful role with the Cleveland Browns.
Daryl, I felt the same way. We actually did get a little bit of pushback. Jacina Anderson had tweeted about it, I believe yesterday. And I feel the same way you do. Like, there's three names that are not off the beaten path, because they're mega stars that get brought up if the Browns make a move. One is John Gruden. I think that that's fish in a barrel for a lot of fans. Now, I don't know if it would work, but, I mean, you give the Kevin Stefanski press conferences, and he just says the same thing the same way every single day, and you're losing football games where, you know, we see John Gruden, and that's just a never-ending highlight reel of the things that right. he says and
Gruden's
and
an
does
entertainer.
On the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, then, Gruden gets that this is an entertainment business. I don't think Kevin Stefanski understands this is an entertainment business, and the entertainment comes from winning.
Well, it's always weird, because people are like, this is my life, damn it. I go, yeah, your life's entertainment. It's okay.
Right.
My life is entertainment, too. Not they don't live and die with what I do, but my God, it's entertainment. I'm just a
right.
clown on the side of the road for the most folks, and that's okay. But for him, I agree with you about that. So I think Gruden's a fish in a barrel type of situation for a lot of fans. Saban, I think a lot of people bring him up because of the greatness there. He used to be the defensive coordinator here. I think he probably is happy being a grandfather and just dealing with life. I don't know if he's a grandfather yet, but I he looks like a grandfather on his birthday. When it comes to Belichick, I'm not even talking about the other situations and the 60-minute stuff. It's like, buddy,
but could you imagine being him doing a press conference and she's sitting in the media room?
Well, it's not even about even that would be.
Could you imagine that, Ken?
It would be bizarre, but
here's the sad part of this whole thing, though. If there's ever a team that would do something as ridiculous like that, it would be the Browns. Let's be honest about it.
But what
it would be them.
It would be. It would be nuts. But it would probably be par for the course. But what my issue is one. Is that if I'm seeing these reports and hearing these reports, and we were getting texts about it from some, because we have a couple of friends who are friends with, like, G5 schools.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're outbidding us for some of these guys that wouldn't even start for us. And then you saw the results of it.
Right.
So I wonder about his scouting. And I think his scouting was called into question the last few years. And then there's the issue with, hey, man, you made a defensive coordinator, your offensive coordinator for your young quarterback here. If you guys think that Kevin Stefanski isn't handling Shador the right way, I can't imagine what Belichick's going to do. I agree with
or
you, Daryl.
Or bringing Mike Lombardi back into the building.
Well, like I said earlier today, you can't have Abbott without Costello. And so you got to have them both. So, Daryl, I'm glad we agree with each other. And I
we
wish
we do. I don't think I could do Bill Belichick here. I'm sorry, Browns.
Hey, real quick, because you get
just
a lot
don't
of...
do it, Jimmy. Whatever you do, whatever is tempting you in that, or don't do it, Jimmy. Don't do it.
Real quick, at the what's your podcast right at the end of the show or right at the end of the game? Because it's been getting a lot of hits. Tell people where they can find it.
Brownie Bites on our station YouTube page. Andy Baskin, most games, and I, we recap the game. We throw in some sound from post game as well, and that's usually up a couple hours after the game ends. And again, you can find it on the station YouTube page.
Outstanding. Daryl, thank you very much for the time. Take care this weekend. I'll talk to you. We will talk to you on Monday.
Look forward to it, guys. Have a great weekend.
You as well. The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder. Oh, and who's he brought to you by?
Oh, of course, it's Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
No, it is not, although I think it's much closer to that being a reality than I thought it would have been even a few weeks ago, just because the product in the field looks bad. We know that they've dealt with a lot of injuries in the offensive line. They've lost guys on the defensive side. It wasn't until that game in Chicago where I thought, oh, he may be getting ready to receive his pink slip and walking out the door, because they just don't look like an organized, competent operation. If they were looking for a reason to get rid of him and change things, it would be two straight seasons with less than 5 wins. Browns, which is where the Browns are headed. And even if I thought that he may be the right guy for them, and he's won coach of the year twice, he's led into the playoffs twice, they've won a playoff game with him, that's more than any other coach has achieved with the Browns since they've been back in 99. All things kind of come to an end at some point, and it just seems like, based on their performance and lack of general direction, this might be the time for that.
It's pretty wild that Kevin Stefanski has had back-to-back three-win seasons, and it's not a foregone conclusion that he's gone. Especially this late, like 6 years in. Like, just, and again, like, I think Nick is reacting to all, like, I think Nick is saying what he believes. And I think everybody that we've had on all parts of this thing, they feel being truthful with what they believe. It's just wild. I cannot think of any other scenario that has played out like this. Is it just the Coach of the Year awards?
It does help him for sure. But I also think people looked at him as a competent human. So there's a couple things that are happening. People think that he's competent. People also give him way too much credit. Like, it's funny. You know, Nick, in the middle of one of his answers, even stopped himself to be like, wait, he is an offensive-minded coach that can't do anything with the offense, and they don't score more than 17 points. He said the Raiders. I know he meant the Titans. It was what it was. But, like, yeah, as an offensive coach, you should be able to score more than what they're able to score. But for some reason, that part hasn't connected with people's brains that do this on a national level. It just hasn't. I don't know why.
If Jimmy Haslam hasn't made up his mind, okay, he works with Kevin. That's his guy. Well,
so,
right?
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's a thought process. I wonder if people are thinking if this is if it's been a soft tank the entire time and they just haven't put it out there as such, then maybe there's still left. There's more left on this soft tank to pull off.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting is head coaches outperform a tank, even a soft tank, consistently. Like, this team does have, like, Vegas got it right. This team, talent-wise, was about 5-6 win team, right? And the reason why I say that is I thought they were a 3-win team because they were coming off a 3-win season. They didn't have a clear plan at quarterback. And it's real when you get to where they were losing, unless you have a switch flipped at quarterback, it's really hard to get out of that quicksand of losing.
Sure, yeah.
But this team should have won closer to 5 or 6 games. And the fact that they didn't is at the feet of Kevin Stefanski.
I know, but there's another segment of, I would assume, national media that looks at Hugh Jackson getting paid bonuses for losing and wonders if the same thing is happening here.
But like, isn't that a cop-out?
Of course it's a cop-out. Like, the whole Stefanski conversation is a cop-out.
We agree then.
All right. That's the idea. We're just trying to get to the bottom of what they think and why they feel and why it's so drastically different than how you and I think and feel on this one. I'm always fascinated when the people that are in the bubble think differently than the people outside of the bubble. Where the information gap exists? Where does it lie? What benefit of the doubt is Stefanski being given? And ultimately, Nick, that answer tends to be, and I think it's going to do it again here this offseason, well, you can't do anything with Haslam as the owner. And also, we don't know what the true intentions are of this team at this point. And so it becomes a cop-out. But people would rather give Stefanski a cop-out than go ahead and just, I don't know, place blame elsewhere.
Well, with all this being said, I'm glad that we found something in the pantheon of ideas for Browns coaching jobs that infuriates me more than Kevin Stefanski getting a 7th year. It's Bill Belichick. Think about it. Think it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Considering I've now fired Kevin 3 times.
Yeah.
Do you think, would you have thought there's any coaching idea realistically that you could throw out there where I'd be like,
or you'd be more incensed?
Where I'd be like, no, don't do that. Keep Kevin.
I might have thrown out Belichick, honestly. Like, if you were making me do the exercise of like, who's going to make Nick mad? Who's going to make him angry? I think Belichick would have been option one. And I'm trying to think of who the other options would be. I don't think Mike McCarthy would make you as mad as it would have maybe 6 months ago.
No, I think
there was a time Mike McCarthy would have made you mad. I don't think he makes you as mad anymore.
No, I think he's a goober, but that's fine. I still think he wins games.
I mean, realistic options. Like, if I told you Lombardi was the head coach, you'd probably get pretty pissed about that whole concept.
Lombardi?
No, Michael, you know.
Oh, like, I was like, I don't think you can resurrect him.
I think he's dead.
Him.
I think he's long gone.
About 50 years now. Yeah, that's a rough one.
Been a long time. But I don't know that there's anybody that would have angered you more.
I think you're right. 216-474-0092. What's a worse idea for the Browns head coaching position in 2026? The 7th year for Kevin Stefanski, or bringing in a 74-year-old, I'm giving him a year, 74-year-old, 24-year-old girlfriend having college football failing head coach, nothing without Tom Brady, Bill Belichick.
Were you doing like a Ric Flair thing right there?
I was kind of, it was riffing. I was trying to see where we could go with it. The Cavs New Fall Guy is here. We'll get to that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
All right, Jeff, a little bit of news coming from Josina Anderson.
Okay.
Buckle in, everyone.
From the NFL.
Yep. NFL Insider has, you know, covered for a lot of different outlets.
Yep.
On Twitter, I'm told there's been recent interest expressed at the very least in speaking with Bill Belichick on an exploratory basis from two teams per league sources.
Uh-oh.
My understanding is Belichick has upper level personnel still fond of him in Atlanta, New York, and Cleveland. Whilst all struggling teams going through customary evaluations this time of year.
One more time. On not the whole thing, on the level of interest that she says here.
My understanding is Bill Belichick has upper level personnel still fond of him in Atlanta, New York, and Cleveland.
Well, upper level personnel means ownership here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's all it means.
That's because I don't.
It doesn't mean Andrew Berry, I don't think.
And the other guy that you would point to is now with the Rockies.
And then Paul DePodesta is not here.
Yeah.
So that means ownership.
So that means ownership. No.
You beat me to it.
No.
Bill was a fine NFL coach, My guess is he could still be a fine NFL coach. I'm not interested.
No.
I'm not interested.
If the answer to your question is Bill Belichick, in the year of our Lord 2025, you need to change the question. The game.
I would not be interested. Folks, you just heard what Dan said. Josina Anderson reporting three teams still having an interest in Bill Belichick at the upper levels. What do you think? Dan says?
No.
Jeff says? No.
If you want him as a consultant, okay, I'll listen. If you want to bring him aboard as some kind of football guru, something like that, okay.
There's no way Bill comes in and sits in a boardroom and says, yes, no, yes. That's not him.
I do not want him as a general manager, I definitely don't want him as a coach.
I definitely don't want him as GM.
Yeah. I don't want him as either. I don't want the Bill Belichick tree here. I don't want Charlie Weiss. I don't want Romeo Crennel. I don't want...
Romeo is a fine man.
Yes, he was. He was. I don't want Matt Patricia. I don't want any of those guys. I don't want Joe Judge. No, thank you. Just a big, firm no, thank you. No, I do not want Bill Belichick in Cleveland. I want someone who will look forward and not someone who will rest on what they've done in the past.
By the way, Romeo still is a fine man.
I never met the guy. I got to believe you on such things. I had heard from many people that he could not have been nicer if he tried.
Was a good coach. No longer a good coach because he's not coaching.
But yeah.
If the Browns are going to make a move, and I still think it's an if, although I think it's, again, you don't survive three wins followed by whatever this is going to be. Go hire Mike McCarthy. I'd rather have John Gruden. I'd rather have young coordinator who's going to be the next Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. Do that. Bill, Pete Carroll, unfortunately not the answer.
Right.
Not the answer anymore.
I would be a no on Pete Carroll. I am a no on Mike McCarthy. I would take Mike McCarthy before I would take Bill Belichick.
Mike McCarthy had three straight 12-5 seasons and then slipped 1 year in Dallas and they got rid of him.
That is just so lovely. And congratulations to him on all of the success that has found him back.
Why do you hate poor Mike McCarthy? He's from Pittsburgh. He coached your Packers. They did well.
Because the game has passed him by.
12-5. Browns fans, wouldn't that be nice?
The game has passed him by.
Okay, great.
His philosophies and his thoughts and all of that stuff are from a different era. His offense just basically turned into the Miami Dolphins offense for a while, where he was just copy and pasting.
Fine. You didn't want him when he went to Dallas and won 12 games 3 years in a row.
So that's
fine. Great, I know.
Again, not my style.
Browns are sitting in fourth place right now in the draft, mock draft world. Right now, if the season ended now, they would draft fourth. And that makes me think of a couple of things, Dano. I wanted to check on this and see. The remaining strength of schedule for the teams ahead of the Browns in the draft right now, the Browns have a tougher schedule than all of them. The Giants have the third easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. And they're sitting right now in the number one spot. So they could stumble into a game. The Raiders have the seventh easiest schedule. Titans are 16th. The Browns have the 13th toughest schedule the rest of the way. And it just, you're sitting here. We talked about this yesterday. All the mock drafts have two quarterbacks going early in the draft, only two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid from Alabama, Ty Simpson, going late in the first round. If the Browns want one of these quarterbacks, sorry, folks, it would behoove them to lose football games. Is that what people want?
So,
do people want you to lose football games?
I'm kind of glad that we started this segment with Bill Belichick to lead to this point right now.
I know.
Because...
And let me throw this at you before you do that.
Sure.
The Giants with the third easiest schedule remaining, they play the Raiders, and the Raiders are ahead of them. So somebody's going to win a third game there, which would tie them with the Browns, numbers-wise anyway.
Mm-hmm.
and they play the Vikings, and they play the Cowboys, who have not been great. So the Giants could easily, they're definitely, either the Giants or the Raiders are going to end up with three wins, where the Browns sit right now.
So you bring up Bill Belichick, and always who came with Bill Belichick and is with him in...
Our buddy Mike Lombardi.
Uh-huh. And he always had this great quote. Bill Simmons used to have him on all the time to talk about football, and then he's a huge Philadelphia 76ers fan as well. And I'll never forget Michael Lombardi saying during the process that this is the worst thing that you could possibly do for the culture of your franchise because it incentivizes losing. And when you get that incentive in there, you cannot get it out.
I agree with that, except for one thing. You're at three wins. Are four or five wins going to really do anything for you? I mean, you're not going to... The NFL players will not allow you to tank a game. NFL players won't do that. You can't go on a football field and not try hard because you're going to get hurt, and NFL players don't do that.
Right.
You've seen the way that teams with crummy records celebrate wins. They love it. Why increase the chances of you getting replaced by somebody because you just helped your team get a better draft position by losing?
Because at some point you need to instill a culture of winning, and you need to instill this is what it takes to win football games.
I agree with you.
And the idea of just walking out there and basically just throwing your hands in the air and saying, well, we need to drop this one. And whether it's because the front office has put together some kind of a roster that is completely hamstringing your team, or it's because a coaching staff is looking around and going, oh, no, you know, Shedeur Sanders does have a higher upside than Bailey Zappe, so let's get Bailey Zappe out there. And in that way, we can guarantee our losses. Like, that sets a tone inside of a room that is so hard to get out when you believe that the organization above you is tying your hands together. Like, that's the problem that you run into. It's what the 76ers ran into with the process.
I'm just telling you, Browns have every opportunity here to move up, Dan. Now, that said, would you agree? I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo.
No.
I don't think they're going to beat Pittsburgh.
No.
The only game I think they might win the rest of the way is the last game of the year, and it's against the Bengals.
And I think they're going to do it. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it in a shootout.
And can the Browns put up that many points? I'm hard pressed to think that.
That's the question.
It's just you have right now there are three teams that are 2-12, the Giants, Raiders, and Titans. And then at 3-11, three teams: Browns, Jets, Cardinals. And tiebreakers and everything else, strength of schedule, you know, all that stuff to be determined down the road. But we'll see. And then heads up, of course, the Browns beat the Raiders. They lost to the Titans, and they lost to the Jets.
All right, so why are you hesitant now to talk Bill Belichick?
Because it's Bill Belichick.
Is it the prospect of actually having Bill Belichick be in the rumor mill again? Is that the idea?
So it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Is it Jordan Hudson?
Well, one, it's Josina Anderson being the person to report it. And I don't know where we are with Josina these days and where things are. And the other thing is, he's old, he's delusional, he surrounds himself with yes men, by the way, none of whom are actually good at their jobs, and I'm really starting to get creeped out by his cheerleader girlfriend.
I am too. So I can't find anybody that thinks this is a good idea, which tells me the Browns are definitely going to be considering this. Like, when you think it's like, no, they can't go down this road. It hits all the check marks that Jimmy Haslam would seem to want in many ways. Because if you live through the idea and the prism that Jimmy Haslam is just Jerry Jones Jr. and he's in it all for the attention and he wants as many people talking about this team as he possibly can get. I there's parts of me that wonder if he wants them talking about this team more than he wants this team actually winning. If you live through that prism, and yes, there are owners out there that think that way and act that way. I know it'll shock a lot of football fans out there. That's why I constantly discuss the teams that are trying to win a Super Bowl and the teams that are acting like they're trying to win a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick would bring the headlines. Bill Belichick would bring a lot of gravitas to the situation, and I can't ignore the idea that Haslam would be interested in that. I'm not interested in that, but I could see Haslam being interested in that.
I think back to something Daryl tweeted about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were talking about Stefanski in the future and how do you do this. And this idea that Browns ownership believes that if you're going to replace a coach, you have to have somebody better in the queue, right? And so this would be, like, if you're Jimmy Haslam, you can sell all the Super Bowls. You can sell the consistent stream of playoff success they had.
He shows up to the press conference wearing all six of the Super Bowl rings on his hand and lays them down on the table as if it's the only thing that's ever mattered, because in many ways it is.
He's closer to diapers than he is winning Super Bowls. He's got a weird... honestly, she is like a high school student mentality girlfriend who clearly is would have a huge role here. It probably means Mike Lombardi's back, and I like Mike Lombardi as a radio guest. I don't want him anywhere near drafting. And by the way, I think we've got enough time. I think we've got enough data before Tom Brady and after Tom Brady to suggest that Bill Belichick as a coach might be a bit of a fraud.
Well, yeah, when it came to quarterbacks, I mean, he had Tom Brady, and it's not as if he did anything to make Tom Brady great. It was all the coordinators. Everyone else around him is the reason why Tom Brady got to be great.
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting Josh McDaniel as the OC, although you might get Brian Daboll. Don't know how we feel about that. Schwartz might stay. They've got a connection from back in the original Browns days.
I could see that.
So that's okay, but here's ultimately...
We're hiring Nick Saban as some sort of liaison as well?
This is why I hated the Mangini hiring when Mangini got hired. These New England guys, they have their way. And their way is they walk into a roster and they demolish it. When they're in charge, right? This is not if they work under somebody as a GM. When they're in charge, they walk in and go, none of these are my guys. And then they go about bringing in guys who fit what they want to do to an extent that usually the first year to 3 years, sometimes if you're Matt Patricia, your whole career, it means that you're not winning. And listen, I'm not saying that they're one season away from winning. But I do not. I think if you hire Bill Belichick, geriatric Bill Belichick, I think next year is another 3-win season. And maybe the year after that's maybe a 6-win season, and then maybe year 3 you get the breakthrough. Because I refuse to believe Bill's coming here without a significant stake in personnel. And I am the way out on
old bones. He would have, I would imagine, just as much autonomy as he had in New England. That would be part of the deal. And so Andrew Berry would have that elevated role, I would imagine, but it would end up looking more like you're doing things that aren't necessarily personnel side. You're doing more things business side than you are anything else. Like Andrew Berry would, I'm sure he'd be called like president or something like that, but it'd be the same situation that Bill had in New England.
He
calls all the shots.
I ultimately really just struggle, too, with the report itself. I refuse to. This has been such a. It's not just if Bill had just lost at North Carolina, we could all chalk it up to it's a different sport. He's trying. It's his first time in college in 50 years. This didn't make sense in the first place. Okay, it's not just that. It is the Lombardi stuff. It is how bad they were when they utilized the transfer portal heavily. It is how very much he seems to not know his players and how his players don't seem to know him. It is the 24-year-old girlfriend thing. Like, at some point, if you can look past all that, I don't know what that says about your coaching staff. And I get it from the, he's got Super Bowl rings, Kevin doesn't. I can check that box when it comes to Daryl's logic on this, but if you can't look at the filth here and really have it change your opinion of Bill Belichick, I think you might just be... I think you're willing yourself to failure.
I don't even know that you win that press conference, though. That's the funny thing about it. Like, the idea that you might not win at all, but I don't even know that you win the press conference because he's had so much mud smeared on his name over the previous couple years. I think it would go a lot of the ways that Pete Carroll in Las Vegas is just gone. And that might mean Pete Carroll's fired at the end of this season. So maybe it'd go Belichick for one season, falls flat on his face, and then decides this is his retirement gig. Wasn't the retirement gig that he thought it was, and then steps aside. Maybe it goes 2 years. I'm not sure, but I think it has a very, very low chance of having a lot of success.
I think it's clout chasing. And here's the thing. It would have been a bad idea a year ago, but at least you could defend it saying, he spent a couple years looking for his quarterback in New England and it just didn't materialize. That happens to a lot of coaches, be they Super Bowl winners or not. After North Carolina, there's no defense of it. There's no defense of the idea. The playbook is out on him. It is as predictable as possible. And unfortunately, Bill likes to do things Bill's way, which usually means when he jumps in, the first year or two, he's not going to win. And you might have Bill for 3 years. So you're telling me I'm going to get 3 years of Bill Belichick, maybe. Maybe 4 years, maybe 5 years. Who knows? Maybe he wants to coach till he's 80, right?
I mean, he might legitimately die on the sidelines.
But I could get 3 years of Belichick, and only one of them's going to be good, at which point I'm going to have to hire another coach? Nah, I'm out.
Well,
this sounds like the worst idea in history, and that's some like if you said right now Stefanski or Belichick, I might give Stefanski the seventh year.
You'd be the NFL's trial balloon, is essentially what you're being, and I don't want to be that. I'm done playing those games. I don't want to be the person that's like, oh yeah, that seems like that could be an interesting idea. Let's see if it works out, and then we'll judge based off it. I don't want to be that. We're that team too many times. I don't want to be that with this.
216-474-0092. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Sal Capaccio, Bills reporter and sidelines for WGR 550 in Buffalo. We will talk Browns in Bills. The Browns, a 10.5-point dog. The last time I checked there, quarterback Deadpool. We've been doing this all season long. Guys, today it's going to be a bloodbath. Mac and I, between the two of us, have four quarterbacks that we have to drop because they're going back to college or transferring. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Pete Futek at 420 College Football News. Nick Shook, Cleveland's own NFL Network, the NFL Daily Podcast as well, at 520. Cash, love it.
Hate it.
Coming up at 6:30 today. I don't know if he can respond. I don't know if he can bounce back to dogging Army, Navy, but we'll see. We're proud Americans on this show. We listen to Lee Greenwood. We drink domestic only. We get in fist fights when we have disagreements. We don't talk it out. None of that laissez-faire crap. We'll see what Cash Lovett
hate it
does at 6:30, but 216-474-0092. Josina Anderson says Atlanta, New York, and Cleveland have upper-level personnel that still are fond of Bill Belichick. Are you interested in the decrepit hoodie himself? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
There's a possibility that either Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski stay after the season. I don't think anybody's going on Monday. I don't think anybody's going the Monday after. Maybe the Monday after is when people go. I don't think anything's happening unless Kevin Stefanski pulls like a Gary Templeton to everybody and just starts giving everybody the bird. I don't think it's going to happen. So I think they're safe until the end of the year, but I also think there's a possibility that one of them goes and one of them stays. And I think that most people would believe it's going to be if one of them goes and one of them stays, Andrew Berry would stay, right? Right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. At this point.
And
yeah.
Yesterday I touted that if Andrew Berry is the one who stays, I'm less likely to believe that they're going to draft a quarterback. I did not know how many people were excited about that possibility. Now, there's been a lot of arguments this week, and I think it's just too early, and we don't have all the information, so I'm not going to get into it. I don't want to get into it too much about whether or not to let Shedeur Sanders be the starting quarterback next year, all of next year, or have him compete with Deshaun Watson or whatever, or take Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore. It's been a conversation, and I have not made up my mind yet on what I'd really like to do. Fernando Mendoza seems like a really, really, really great talent, but we'll definitely see more because every one of these games he's going to be judged by. And he's got to obviously play in more than one. If they leave Andrew Berry in there, I do believe that you're less likely to take a QB. But is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because you may be less likely to take a good QB, and people might be like, great. But it's like, well, you still have Andrew Berry has to execute those picks. Now, he was good last year. Does one out of five mean enough for him to stay for fans?
I've seen a lot of fans come around because of this draft class, and they're like, well, he finally proved that he could do it, so why would we show him the door now, despite all the losses, despite all the stuff simmering, you know, behind the scenes, in addition to how he assembled the quarterback room and really omitted any kind of future planning when it came to that offensive line, which looks like they're going to be in a dire situation next year.
Like, it's not going to be a good spot next year. And it startles you because it's like, well, I don't know if Shador's ever going to be in a good spot here. So it's almost set up like even if he were here next year, well, if the offensive line's that bad, he's going to be set up for failure again, and we're just going to stretch this out. And my theory is with a lot of people, and I'm going to fight this no matter what, is that I don't want to hear just because you're afraid to take a quarterback because of the history. Because I think you're going to talk yourself into being afraid of Julian Sain by the end of next year, or Arch Manning, or Lenora Sellers, or so many others. I just think there's people who are afraid to take any quarterback.
That typically happens around this time of year. Mm-hmm. I don't know why fans get so scared. I guess they think if we take the wrong quarterback, we're going to be locked in for 5 years. And I just don't think the league works like that anymore.
I think they don't want to get their feelings hurt. They don't want to waste more time. I think it's harder to know what you're looking at with QBs. I mean, before there was a prototype that you would look at and go, this guy's going to be good, and that's it. There's none of them like that. Like, we keep wanting to say, there's no more they're not a generational talent. Who's generational anymore? Who's going to be a generational guy? They might end up being generational, but you can't say it because I think it's changed from middle school on up for a lot of quarterbacks, and I could take the rest of the show to explain why I think that. I don't think we're ever going to be comfortable taking a quarterback for the foreseeable future, whether it be in Cleveland or really anybody. That pointed out, I'm not going to let a fear of quarterbacks dictate whether or not I think Andrew Berry should stay or go if I'm the Cleveland Browns. Now, I don't want to be head over heels for one quarterback right now and not see the forest for the trees and start trading stupid things that I may not really want to trade to go up and get them, which is something the Browns may be very willing to do because of their history. So there's a lot that's not left to be said. But I was surprised that people were thinking, well, there are plenty of people who are very critical of Andrew Berry, whereas as long as he's willing to leave that quarterback in there, whether it be Shador or even Deshaun Watson, I think people have opened up to more. Then as long as they're not drafting that QB, then fine. Go right on ahead and leave him in there. I don't know if that's the reason I would want to leave him in there. I just believe that they are less likely to take a QB if they leave him in there. You may think he's trying to save his job. I think he's more likely to stay the course and to do what is supposed to be right. Because I, other than the Deshaun Watson trade, I thought that there were definitely a bunch of traps for him to lay himself out and to look vulnerable and look like all he's trying to do is save his job. I don't think you really did that.
Well, I'm telling you what, we have two more home games. The Pittsburgh game's at home, right?
Correct.
You have two more home games, and we are not factoring in properly what the stadium is going to look like the next few weeks, what the fans are, what kind of sentiment they're going to be, you know, conveying to the Browns, to the organization, to ownership. And look, if Shador plays well, they hang in there against Buffalo. They don't necessarily need to win. But Shador is showing signs. Maybe it'll be different. But if it looks like that Bears game and they get run off the field at home the next 2 weeks, regardless of whether Myles Garrett breaks that sack easily, that sack record easily or not, I think we're not taking into consideration now, with no D Podesta there anymore as well, what the Haslams are going to do and how they're going to react
to
that.
So you think there's a chance that...
I still think everybody could get blown out. I think
before the season.
Well,
before the end of the season.
I don't think they wouldn't blow out the GM before the season. But I think if they look like they quit...
What moves are there left to be made?
I think they could fire the coach. I know we've just assumed it wouldn't happen until the end of the year. But if they just flat out quit, and you just had Albert Breer, who's always been very favorable about this organization and this coach... He came on this week and said, yeah, they look like they quit, so he's lost a team. Okay, if that happens at home against Buffalo, and this stadium is overrun by Bills fans, and they're Zubaz pants,
what is it with you and Zubaz pants? You got a problem with Zubaz pants?
No, they wear them. The Buffalo fans are the only fan base in the league that still wears them.
It's a good look.
You'll see it, though, and the Haslams will be there, and that'll be an ugly, ugly scene. Damn, I would not discount that could happen.
But how many other ugly scenes have we seen and people have been just left there? I mean, how many more do you want? There's been plenty. They booed Dillon Gabriel for coming out for a play. You lost that game. There's plenty of ugly scenes that have happened over at the stadium, and they've been like, yeah, we're on to week 16. That's the way it's been.
Well, how is the team? So I get that Buffalo's not going to be a good gauge for if they quit or not, right? And I guess the offense is the only one you can really gauge. The defense... A bunch of those guys this week have said they're coming out and they're trying to get that sack record for Miles. They can't, if they quit on Kevin, they're quitting on this sack record right now, which I think is a much bigger deal than the coach at this point, right? The decisions have all been made within probably the locker room and certainly in the fan base.
I thought guys were making business decisions on defense very early on in that Bears game.
See, I didn't. I just thought they weren't that great.
Well, that could be, they are a 3-win team and, but
it's hard for me to be able to evaluate whether they're quitting or not against one of the best teams in the league.
Because Josh Allen can make can make good defenses look bad. I do get that. I just think when you can tell how guys are going to tackle, And when that second level is wide open the way it was last week, that just doesn't seem like Cleveland Browns.
I just don't think they were very good in the second. You just said the second level. They're not very good back there now without Denzel Ward.
Well, they haven't been good against the run for 2 weeks. And Schwartz was asked yesterday about 31 points in two consecutive games. And, I mean, it's not been good. A lot of that's field positioning from special teams.
Yeah, I totally
special
agree.
Teams is screwing up a lot of
52-yard kickoff returns, and you're giving up 17-yard kickoff returns.
I think that plays
out of your
it.
End zone.
And, well, and your rookie quarterback has to start his first drive on the one in horrible weather conditions.
And without Malik Collins, you're seeing how those pups on the defensive line are struggling to hold down the fort with the run. That's why they had to go out and get Mo Hurst, because they knew they were in trouble the second they knew it. And by the way, they probably knew this well before we did. Jim Schwartz probably knew this going into the season, that if that guy gets hurt, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble because the young ones can't really do it.
I'm guilty of totally underrating his presence.
Who, Malik Collins? Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say something crazy.
On the line is Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
Nick, welcome, our friend.
What's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
We're doing well. I was going to ask you, over under on members of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra doing hair flips during the concert, but it's an endless number, so I don't think we should even bother with that.
Yeah, yo, my wife and I, after my show tomorrow night, we are going to like a Christmas concert. And we were thinking about like, hey, like what Christmas concert do we want to go to? We ended up doing like something smaller. And I mentioned the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And I guess like I've never seen them. She wasn't a fan, but like I've always kind of wanted to go see them. So that was interesting that you guys brought them up because we almost went to go see them tomorrow night in New York.
Nice.
It's a show, man.
It's a show.
It is.
A lot of hair flipping going on.
Flames, fireworks, the whole nine yards. It's a show.
That's cool. And I love Christmas music, so like I could get into that for sure.
So riddle me this one, my friend. We'll get to Browns and Bills. We're not too excited about that one. But strength of schedule, rest away for the Browns. They're sitting fourth right now in the NFL draft order. The three teams ahead of them all have one less win than the Browns have. Do you think it's less or more likely that the Browns stay at four or move up or move down?
All right, so let's do this here. So Cleveland's schedule rest of way is, so they'll lose to Buffalo. I guess like they could beat Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in the final two games. Like that could definitely happen. I don't think it will, but like it could. So it's not the worst closing schedule for the Cleveland Browns. I'm a Giants fan, so I'm a little biased here. I think they're one of the worst teams of all time, so I think the Giants will lose out. Giants, I think, will ultimately end up with the number one pick. Tennessee, you know, a lot of people in the betting space think Tennessee can beat Kansas City this week without Mahomes, obviously. Then host New Orleans next week. That'll be a small spread game. Likely lose to Jacksonville in the final week of the season. And the Raiders are actually probably the worst team right now. They will certainly lose this Sunday in Houston. They will almost certainly lose to Kansas City even without Mahomes in the final game. And then I think it's really going to come down to the number one pick, who loses the Raiders-Giants game in Week 17. That game is in Vegas. As a Giants fan, I'm hoping it's the Giants. So my guess is that the Giants will ultimately end up with the number one overall pick, which will make me very happy.
Would you also be happy? Because Jocene Anderson had a rumor out there of your Giants being interested in Bill Belichick, possibly.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't know if I'd be thrilled with that. Just because I think like Bill has kind of become like a sideshow with and like the young girlfriend is like the father of like a girl. Like I think he's such a creep. That's just, you know, personal. As far as being a football coach goes, it kind of seemed like, you know, if he's going to be hands off in terms of personnel and there's going to be a GM who's not Joe Shane picking the players, maybe you could talk me into it. But I'm looking for like young offensive, young defensive coach. The guy that I want is Clayton Adams, the current offensive coordinator of the Cowboys. And just like if anything ever happened with Kevin Stefanski and like he parted ways with the Browns, he would be first on my list for next head coach of the Giants.
Explain why.
I think he's an awesome coach. I mean, he's multiple-time coach of the year, got saddled with a quarterback that he probably didn't want in Deshaun Watson. Like, I don't think he's to blame for the Deshaun Watson fiasco. Jimmy Haslam took the blame for it. Like Haslam said, it was a big swing and a miss. And who took that swing and a miss? It was him, obviously, and gave Deshaun Watson the guaranteed contract. I think Stefanski has proven that he's an excellent coach. And I think if you gave Stefanski time to kind of rebuild this program, like in his image with the quarterback he wants that can play his system, because Deshaun comes in, and it's an entirely different offense than Stefanski wants to run. Everything's out of the shotgun. Everything's spread. Like, that's not the Kevin Stefanski offense. Like, that's not the offense the Arizona Cardinals run with Drew Petzing, who came from this tree. I think Stefanski's kind of proven that he's an awesome coach, so I would love Kevin Stefanski as a Giants fan, or I think any team should want Kevin Stefanski as their coach if indeed the Browns do choose to part ways with him.
It's funny you bring that up on top of that, because you're talking to two guys who have said similar things, but I think we've both looked at each other as well and have said, yeah, it's also kind of time. You know, it just feels like it's all run its course in Cleveland. Do you believe that is the case as well with Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland?
Well, I think you could probably make an argument like one way or the other. And, you know, I can't necessarily disagree with the thought process of like, listen, it's probably just time for like to wipe the slate clean a little bit. And it almost doesn't matter. I mean, it does. And it also doesn't whose fault the Deshaun Watson fiasco is, right? Because it happened. And there's been like all these like lean years, obviously, and it hasn't been great. And I think the organization is kind of like in a good place moving forward, provided, you know, they do well with these draft picks coming up. So I think you could certainly make the case that a clean break and like a clean slate and move forward. And I wouldn't necessarily be mad at that. Do I think that's the right decision? Like, I don't. Like, I do think Stefanski's a really good coach. And I don't think it's his fault that things didn't work out with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, a couple years ago, when Joe Flacco comes off the couch and wins those games at the end of the year, like, that doesn't happen with bad coaches. Like, Stefanski is a good coach. Multi-time coach of the year winner. Like, you don't be a curtain jerking jabroni and have that happen. So, again, like, I understand both sides of it. If it were me and I were a Browns fan, I would want Stefanski to stick around, but I could certainly understand other Browns fans who might think it's time for a break while hopefully also still acknowledging that the guy is a really good coach.
Nick Costos joining us, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. I want to go back to something you said. As a Giants fan, you hope your team gets the number one pick. I understand that. Most every mock draft I've seen, recent ones, have the Giants getting the number one pick and then trading it to the Jets so they can take Fernando Mendoza. Does that make any sense to a Giants fan?
Yes.
Okay.
So if the Giants get the number, so let's think about, and look, I don't want to turn this into like a big Giants thing, but let's say the Giants get the number one pick. My sense is that Jackson Dart has done enough to be the week one starter next year. Maybe not like for years down the road, but certainly for next season to be the week one starting quarterback, which means you're not taking a quarterback. They just took Abdul Carter with the third overall pick in the draft last year. They traded a second round pick and paid Brian Burns. They drafted Kayvon Thibodeau with the first round pick a couple years ago. Dexter Lawrence is a first round pick on the defensive line. I don't know if like Arvell Reese, right, the Ohio State edge rusher, is the number one pick, or Miami's Reuben Bain, like their outstanding edge rusher. So if the Giants aren't going to take an edge rusher and aren't going to take a quarterback, then like the reason why as a Giants fan you want them to get that first overall pick is so they can trade down and accumulate more assets and build up a team that has been embarrassing now for the better part of a decade here. And I think that's probably the best course of action. So I don't want them to get the number one pick to take someone with it. I'd like for them to get that pick to trade it, get more assets to build this team up.
Our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos, joining us on the hotline. I mean, Nick, these conversations, frankly, are more interesting than what's going to take place in Cleveland this week, but I feel like we need to say such things. Myles Garrett going for the sack record. Do you think he gets it against Josh Allen, or do you think Josh Allen will be running all over the place?
I'll stop short of making a like prediction on this weekend. Will he get it? Like, absolutely. He'll break the sack record. He will be defensive player of the year. And he's obviously like he's a future first ballot Hall of Famer, like a literal living legend. Like, we are watching, you know, like Lawrence Taylor, basically, in Myles Garrett in Cleveland. And the hope is, obviously, that the Browns are able to put a winner around him. And we see Myles Garrett play meaningful football deep into January at some point in his career. Will it happen this weekend? Maybe. Will it happen at some point before the season ends? I mean, like 100% as long as he stays healthy.
Take a look at what we're dealing with tonight. Seattle, the Rams. Rams are a lot of people's idea for the Super Bowl.
I do think right now, if you made me pick a Super Bowl champion, I would take the Rams. I would take the Rams. This is a tricky game. And it's tricky for a couple different reasons. First is the weather, where there is definite, it's really funny, you look at the weather forecast, it literally says definite rain, like 100% chance of precipitation tonight. Now, the wind doesn't look too bad, and that's important because I think, you know, if you're watching a game on TV or you turn on like the Amazon broadcast before the game starts and you see like this deluge of rain, you might think, well, like I have to bet the under. And really, like, wind is what screws up totals. It makes bettors want to bet unders because and think about it in these terms, right? Offensive players before the ball is snapped, like they know where they're going. Defensive players don't. So like if you're playing in slippery conditions in the snow or in the wind, that actually benefits the offense, like not the defense. So I think this should function as a fairly normal game despite the rain. Matthew Stafford throughout his career has not been great in the rain. Like, that's worth noting. And also, like, Devontae Adams is very unlikely to play in tonight's game. And what's fascinating about that from an on-field handicap, and I would encourage people to kind of watch the game and look out for this if you're even like a shred of being a football nerd. So the Rams have kind of like evolved their offense this year, and they've been running a ton of 13 personnel, which is one receiver and three tight ends on the field at the same time. And they have been absolutely shredding opposed. They did it against the Lions last week. They've done it all season long with three tight ends. Now, you know, if you have Puka Nacua as one of your receivers or Devontae Adams as one of your receivers, it obviously makes it a lot more viable. Now you don't have Devontae. So that means that I think Seattle like kind of knows what they're doing here, where they're probably not going to run a ton of two or three wide receiver sets, right? Because then it's Puka Nacua and seventh rounder Kanata Mumfield or Jordan Whittington, right? Or one of these receivers that we haven't really seen deliver in the NFL. So I think Seattle going into this game, like, kind of knows what they know what the Rams are going to do. And Mike McDonald, Seattle's head coach, who's the defensive coach, obviously, was the former Ravens defensive coordinator, as all the Browns fans know, is kind of being viewed as like the Sean McVay of defense right now, like the defensive innovator in the National Football League as far as coaching and scheming is concerned. So Mike McDonald, going into this game, kind of like has the answers to the test. Like, he knows what the Rams are going to do, the formation they're going to be in primarily, and can he scheme something up to stop it? So maybe you think the answer to that question is yes. Okay. Then the next part of the handicap becomes, can Sam Darnold play well in a big spot? And this obviously qualifies as one, when we know what happened the first time these two teams played, and Sam Darnold threw four interceptions, and the Seahawks only lost by two. Now, if Darnold plays a clean game tonight, and he looks pretty good, and they get the passing game going, and JSN has a good game, like, Seattle's probably going to win. But in order to make the bet on Seattle, you have to believe that Darnold plays well. And I think for a lot of bettors, myself included, that's a tough button to click when it really comes down to it. So a lean for me towards the LA Rams. The bet that I will make in tonight's game is a prop. I want to go the aforementioned receiver I mentioned, their rookie seventh rounder, Kanata Mumfield. And this is actually a real person, I promise, like Mumfield and Sons. He ran ahead of every non-Puka and Devontae wide receiver last week against the Lions. My sense is that when the Rams have multiple wide receivers on the field at the same time, Puka will obviously be one, and he will be the other. His number at BetMGM is either 9.5 or 10.5, depending on where you're looking. I think he goes well over that tonight. I also bet him to score a touchdown. Kanata Mumfield for the LA Rams.
All right, real quick, Nick, before we let you go, what do you think happens in the Browns-Bills game? And how would you bet it?
I have a small bet on Buffalo minus 10. We're at 10.5 now. No interest there. I think the Bills are very likely to win, very likely to win it easily. Will they win by 17? I'm not so sure. If you made me bet the game now, I would bet the Buffalo Bills. I do not like Cleveland in this game.
Nick, thank you very much, buddy.
You got it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck. If I don't talk to you guys before the holiday, Merry Christmas to you guys, your families, and all the listeners.
You thank as well, you very man. Much, Nick. Thank best you. Of holidays to you.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. For all of your betting and sports talk needs, check out the BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.